I was really, even though last night was a tough message, I was getting excited.
Amen.
And you know why I was getting excited? Because I've been coming to realize more and more about the life of Christ that's in me, that's been imparted to me. And if you're born again, you have that same life, that has been imparted to you. Like Pastor Charlie was talking for the last couple nights, you know, death works in us. The death works in us so that His life, that resurrection power, that resurrection life, will shine forth through us to the world out there. That's where our ministry is. So, all of that happens. I thought he was going to go in and start preaching on my message on top of it. I thought, oh boy, okay. Well, that's all right. I'll just reinforce. But, you know, you get this through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Like for those that were here yesterday morning that we were talking about. It takes a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when we decide to sit down in His classroom, we have to decide to sit down in His classroom and be taught by Him. So, yesterday I asked, what is the Holy Spirit? And, of course, the Holy Spirit is not a what. The Holy Spirit is a who. And the Holy Spirit is not a dove, not a mist, not a vapor, you know, not some mystic being. But He is our friend. According to John 14, He's our friend, He's our teacher, He's our helper, He's our counselor. He's everything we need. He was sent to be with us forever. And so He is here with us on a daily basis, day in and day out. He is with us. And He's here to guide us into the truth and the knowledge of the Word of God, and also to guide us into the truth and the knowledge of His plan, the Father's plan, for every single one of us here. Isn't that awesome? That we have a friend that close. Over in Matthew 6:33, we're instructed to seek first the kingdom of God. Well, how do we seek first the kingdom of God? Well, we seek first by meditating on the Word, by praying in tongues, by fasting, by what? These are things that you enact in your life to seek first the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, I know some of you do, but my heart's cry is, I want His will and His heart and His mind for my life. That's the ultimate goal that I want, that I am striving for and going towards. So what am I going to do about it? I have got to start practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize you can actually practice the presence? You can practice being in His presence, becoming aware of His presence every minute of every hour of every day in your life. And you can become an expert at locating the ear of your spirit precisely so you can hear His voice clearly. That no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what storms are raging around you, and it seems like all hell has broke loose on you, the clearest, most distinct voice you hear in your life on the inside of you is His voice. It's attainable. We can't achieve that. And it's all through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But you know, we can confess that we hear His voice clearly until our jaw drops off. Just because we confess we hear His voice doesn't mean we hear His voice. It's like somebody who wants to become a doctor, okay? They go around saying, I'm the best doctor there ever was, and I'm going to be the best doctor there ever was. In fact, I'm going to be the best pediatric doctor there ever is. But you know, this person is a dropout, high school dropout. They never got their GED. They never went on to accomplish anything. So this person, you know, he can say this, or they can say this, for as long as they live, 100 years. But if they don't do what is necessary to achieve that, like go back to school, get their GED, get their college education, go through med school, they are never, ever going to accomplish being a doctor, no matter how much they say. It's the same with us. We can say that we are learning to hear his voice clearly all we want, but unless we are doing those things that we have been taught to do, that we know to do to be able to hear his voice, we're not going to hear his voice. We're not going to hear his voice clearly at all in our lives. So it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen a month. It's going to take time to accomplish this. Just like becoming a doctor, after you graduate from high school, it takes at least another 8 to 12 years point of becoming a doctor. I'm not saying that it's going to take you 8 to 12 years to hear, you know, God's voice or to locate the ear of your spirit. Now, it might for some people. It just depends how diligent you are and if you're serious about sitting down and letting the Holy Spirit teach you. The Holy Spirit is with each one of us 24/7. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, like I said yesterday. He knows everything there is to know about you. He is with you wherever you go, and whatever you do, it doesn't matter. He is there with you. Whether it's good or bad, he is there with you. Whether you feel him or not, he is there. Do you get it? He's there with you. See, so we have to become aware of him. And that's where we're lacking. Most, you know, the church as a whole, we as individuals at times, that's where we're lacking. We are not aware that he is with us. So he's with us, like I said, every minute of every hour of every day, day in, day out, month after month, year after year, until the day you die, he is there. And being the little flesh creatures that we are, and I'm like this too, you know, I haven't arrived, I'm not perfect, I'm on this walk just like you are, and we're all in different areas of our walk. But if it's out of mind, I mean, if it's out of sight, what is it normally? Out of sight, out of mind. Okay, well, you can't see the Holy Spirit. He's here in us. He's here with us. But because we can't see him, we can't talk to him, you know, face to face, you might say, he's usually out of our mind. We don't think about him being with us here all the time. But he is. He is. And I am coming to realize more and more as the thought in that position about the life of Christ with me, he is here right beside me constantly, all the time. He's my best friend. When I feel like I don't have anybody to talk to, I can turn to him and I can bear everything to him. I think it's awesome. So how do we become more aware of him? What do we do to become more aware of him? Well, the number one thing is praying in other tongues. That's the number one thing. But you know, he doesn't just understand tongues. He understands English. Amen. Every native language there is, he understands your language. You can talk to him in your native tongue, and he will listen to you, and he'll understand you. And do you realize that he doesn't sleep either? He can constantly talk to you even in the nighttime. And he does that through dreams, through visions, by revelation. If you are open and you are expecting him always, they are talking to you, speaking to you, learning to hear him. You know, even in the night. I mean, I go to sleep at night now. And I'm going, Holy Spirit, I thank you that even during the night, if you choose to get something across to me, you can bring it in a dream or a vision or a revelation to me. And he can do that for you too. As we become more and more aware of his presence in our life on a daily basis, it causes an expectation to start rising up on the inside of us, an excitement. And with that expectation, there's the manifestation of the gifts will become more, we'll realize they're more available to us. Because who do the gifts come through? The Holy Spirit's the power. We are vessels of authority in this earth. Okay, we're the vessel. He's the agent of power to manifest the Father's will through the name of Jesus. So if we can get in us that we're the vessel and he's the power and he's there with us, and that the world is out there, and that's our ministry. The world, the ministry is just not here behind this pulpit or on Sundays or Wednesdays, but our ministry, the ministry is out there, and the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, and we're expecting him to be speaking to us. That means we can expect those gifts anytime we need them, wherever we are, he can manifest them through us. Let that sink in for a moment. Now, when you start to do this, the enemy is going to come for you because of religious thinking, because he'll tell you, well, your performance is not meeting a certain standard. You're not good enough or worthy enough for him to move through you, for you to hear his voice. See, he let that one about not being worthy enough stop me for a long time. He's really good at playing mind games with you, and he will bring this to you. But do you know what? The Holy Spirit didn't come to reside in a perfect vessel. None of us is perfect, and he didn't come to reside with us as being perfect vessels. He loves you. Like I said yesterday morning, he loves you. He came to abide with you forever. It's forever to the day you die, he is with you, no matter what. And he took that assignment on voluntarily. Voluntarily, he decided to be stuck to you like glue. Now, how can you find out his will and follow his instructions if you can't hear him or you don't know his voice? You can't. There's just no way to. You're left to wander around like orphans. And Jesus clearly told us in John 14, he was not going to leave us as an orphan. So the number thing you can do, number one thing you can do, is learn to locate the ear of your spirit. And I would highly recommend, and I did this, I recommended this before, you getting Pastor Dave Roberson's two-set message on distinguishing God's voice and listening to it. It's excellent. And that will help you. If you will put into practice the things he says to do, you will put into the practice the things that I have been teaching, Pastor Charlie's been teaching, Pastor Earl's been teaching, about how to distinguish his voice, locate the ear of your spirit, start to do them. It will start happening. So you practice his presence by being aware of him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You speak to him as if he were your friend, which he is. He's your closest friend. You speak to him as if when you had a problem, he was the only one you could talk to for help, because he is there to help. That's what he was sent to do. He was sent to be our helper. Did you know that you can pray in tongues in the shower? You can pray in tongues while you cook. You can pray in tongues in the grocery store. Guys, get this. You can pray in tongues when you hunt and fish. You can even pray in tongues if you're working on the car. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
We have this gift for personal edification in our life, that He's with us all the time, that we can do this anywhere, anytime that we want. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, besides just that, you're going to have to put yourself aside, private time of spending time with Him. You're going to have to learn how to wait on God. You're going to have to get in your prayer closet, and you're going to have to sit down and start praying in tongues, maybe 15, 20 minutes, pray in tongues, and then stop and get yourself real quiet. Shut your brain off. I know that one's really hard to do, and it takes a lot of practice to start getting your brain to quiet down and just start get real quiet on the inside and just listen. Just listen. And then after, 5-10 minutes or so, start praying in tongues again for 15-20 minutes. And keep doing this for an hour or a couple hours or whatever. Okay? I'm not saying you're going to start hearing just like this, because, most likely you're not. But start doing this and keep doing it over and over and over and over and over and over. Day in, day out. And that silence may be deafening at times, and you'll be wondering, am I even on the right track? Is this doing any good? But I can tell you it is. I don't care if you don't hear anything for 2, 3, 4 months, maybe longer. I don't care. Keep doing it. Because one of these times, when you least expect it, He's going to start speaking to you. And it may just be a sentence, it may be a word, it just may be something real short. But He will. He will come to you and He will speak to you. And when that happens, I would really be prepared with a paper and a pencil there, and I would jot down the date, and I'd jot down what He said to me, and I'd date it. And then you know what I'd do? I wouldn't stop. I'd keep doing what I have been doing and continue on and on and on and on until you precisely locate the ear of your spirit and you become more and more confident that you are hearing His voice within you. And He will never depart from the Word. He will never tell you to do anything apart from the will of the Father, which is the Word of God. Everything will always line up. It won't. It will not be apart from the Word. The art of waiting on God has been lost to this generation. You used to hear about the old timers. I know when I first came into the full gospel movement, you'd hear some of those old timers talking, about you got to wait on God. Just get in there and wait on God, Well, we've lost that. In our modern charismatic movement that we've had, we've really lost that art. And so we have to get back to that. We have to get back to letting that life of Christ in us come alive. The life of every believer as a whole in the church really has come to the point of where the carnal mind rules. And the question is simple. Is the life of Christ that has been imparted to man's spirit to be led by the carnal mind of man, our carnal mind, or the life of Christ? The Holy Spirit has come to bring us the mind of Christ. And as we bow our knee to His mind, then the Holy Spirit will bring us His leadership according to the will of the Father. That's what I want. To wait upon God means to spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He was sent on purpose to be your teacher. We've all gone to school to gain knowledge. There's nothing wrong with gaining knowledge, in the world or spiritually. But you have to be taught. So our teacher is the Holy Spirit. So you have to sit down in His class. You have to pull yourself aside and let yourself be taught. To wait upon God is to spend time in His presence. And our responsibility is to yield our life to the life of Christ in His mind as it's revealed to us. Because on this path is life. On this path is anointing. And on this path, all things are possible with Him.
Amen.
Now we have a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. And there are two very separate, distinct paths in our lives. One path is the path of religion, the path of man, and on that path is death and destruction. Then on the other path is the path of the Spirit, which is the life of Christ that has been imparted to you if you've been born again, when you're born again. On that path, life, and on that path is dominion. That's where we want to be, to get to the point of dominion. It's just not a positional truth anymore to us, but it is a living truth in our lives that we have the dominion, the life of Christ in us. That when we speak, the Holy Spirit moves because of that life. We become aware of that life in us. Now, these two paths can't be mixed. They can't be mixed at all. You can't blend them by having one foot over here in religion in the world and one foot over here in the Spirit. A lot of people try to do that, and for a while, they might think they're getting away with it, and it might look to people like they're getting away with it, but they're not getting away with it. It's not happening because these two paths cannot be mixed at all.
Amen.
It's like oil and water. You can't mix oil and water no matter how hard you try. You put it in a blender, everything else, you mix it up. When you turn it off, it starts to separate back out. It's the same way with the things of the Spirit. You can't mix them. You have a choice. Either I want the life of Christ or I want religion in the world. You can't mix them. So I'm not saying somebody isn't born again. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that many have not yielded to the life of Christ that's in them. And you do that by developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit and following Him. So that means I'm going to have to pray in tongues more. I'm going to have to worship. I'm going to have to meditate the Word. You have to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. So you have to read the Word and meditate the Word. And so praying in tongues and meditating the Word together is really good because you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with there. And then you have to fast because you have to put to death this flesh. We have to put to death. Through fasting, we enact the death of Christ in us, putting to death those things in us so that His life can come forth and shine more in us and worship. These are all very, very, very important things in our lives. Now, over in John 14, we spent a lot of time there yesterday in John 14. Okay, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, okay? And He's telling His disciples that He's going to leave them, but that they wouldn't be able to go with Him, but not to worry because He was going to send the Holy Spirit back to them. And they're there wondering, well, all they heard was, He's leaving us, and we can't follow. You know, they're not zeroing in on the fact that He said He's going to send somebody back to be with them. All they're worried about is, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He's not going to be here. He's telling us we can't follow Him. What are we going to do? But Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. And he's going to be with you all the time. He's going to help you. He's going to lead you. He's going to teach you. In fact, he's going to bring back to your remembrance every single thing that I have taught you over these last 3 years. Even though you may not understand everything right now that is happening or everything that I have said, when he comes, he is going to show you these things. He is going to bring it all back to your remembrance. And basically he's saying the revelation is going to be brought to you because of this. He's not going to replace me. He's not going to be my Lord. He's not going coming to be your Lord. But he is coming to walk beside you and be with you because I can't be with you now. He is going to be with you now. Now back to the present here. Now the Holy Spirit is with each one of us all the time, just like he's with the Father and the Son, Jesus in heaven. He's omnipresent. He can be there and here. That's how he can bring us the mind of Christ, because he's there and he's here with us. Now he's bringing us every minute of every hour that we choose. Okay? That we choose to speak those mysteries that bypass our intellect, that bypass our mind. He is bringing to us the mind of Christ. At that moment, our minds are unfruitful, but our spirit is not unfruitful. And our spirit is getting the understanding of the revelation of the word, but also he is bringing us the present day plan of God for your life, your direction, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what he wants you to do that day. You can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that gets that precise, that when you go into prayer in the morning or maybe the night before, it depends if you're night owl or you like to get up early, he can bring you the mind of Christ for that present day and say, okay, this is your assignment. This is your assignment. This is what we need. You need to accomplish with my help today. We can get to that point in our lives that this happens on a daily basis. This is what we're striving for. Our responsibility is to submit to him. Do you know what the word submit means? I looked it up in the dictionary, of course. You know me. Latin and Greek, usually. It means to yield oneself to the power or authority of another. So that means we need to yield ourselves over to the power and authority of the Spirit. So our responsibility, okay, is to yield ourselves over, our minds, as he reveals to us the will of the Father. As we yield ourselves over to him, then we can, whatever he says, then we can do whatever he says, wherever he says to go, whatever the instructions are, as we yield ourselves and submit ourselves to that, we are obedient to do whatever he says. Here it comes again. Pastor Charlie's been talking the last couple nights, obedience. Everything hinges on obedience. Obedience to get into the classroom. Obedience to pray in tongues. To worship, to meditate the word, obedience to do everything that we have been taught to do. When those instructions come, obedience to follow the instructions. The church as a whole has been allowing the life of Christ to be directed by the will of man. And you can see this in most churches because of the program. And I'm not saying all programs are bad, because he may instruct you to do something. But as a whole, the programs and people being shackled by religion and people crashing and burning because of not being able to hear the word of God and because of being shackled and because of being wandering around and not knowing to do, people are crashing and burning because they don't have the mind of Christ. They haven't taken the time, they haven't been taught to wait on God and find out what He has for them as an individual.
Amen.
Okay, turn over to Acts. Okay? Acts is full of people who have developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And He gave them, in the book of Acts, you will find over and over where He gave them detailed instructions as to what to do, what the will of the Father was. Now we're going to look at Paul. And Paul, he was groomed to be a Pharisee. And to become a Pharisee, about the age of 3, they started training these young boys. And they were taught to start memorizing the Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. And they had to memorize these books to the point of where they could quote them by heart. How would you like to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible and just rattle it off like this, any part, any portion? This was part of their training. So he took this really seriously. He took this so seriously that he thought Jesus was an imposter. He thought the whole Christian thing was a cult, and he set out to destroy it. He threw people in prison. He had people put to death. And then he had his Damascus Road experience. Hallelujah. And you know, he actually thought he was pleasing God. When he was doing all this, he actually thought he was doing the will of God and that he was being pleasing to God while he was doing this. Okay, so here we see Paul, chapter 18. Paul's in Corinth. And he's staying with a Jewish couple who has come down from Rome. And they're tent makers because Paul by trade was a tent maker. So he was staying with this couple, and he was working with them, and he was also going to the synagogue every Sabbath, as was his custom. Now, this one particular Sabbath, Paul starts to compel, is compelled by the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, to testify that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Messiah. And the Jews became so furious these days that almost a riot was started. I mean, they were mad this particular day. And then Paul got really, really mad this particular day. And he tells them, well, your blood be on your own head. You know, I could just see him stamping his foot and clenching his fist, you know, and just spitting, you know, and he was furious. And so, have you ever been so mad you shook? I've been that way once. I imagine this is probably how Paul was. He was just so furious, you know, by this time. And so he left the synagogue and went next door to this believer's house where he was going to stay the night and then leave. He was going to the Gentiles. Bless God, he was going to the Gentiles to preach. If you hard-headed people don't want to pay attention and accept that Jesus is the Christ, then I'm going to go preach somewhere else, you know. But then, during the night, let's pick up on verse 9 in chapter 18. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months. Teaching the word of God among them. Just the night before, he was leaving town. Their blood be on their own heads. But what happens? The Holy Spirit comes in the night with a vision, and he tells Paul, I want you to stay here. I've got a lot of people here, and I want you to stay here. Now, Paul had a choice. Do the instructions of the Holy Spirit, when they come, alter a person's life? Yes, they do. But only if they're obeyed. So Paul chose to lay downhill everything he'd been groomed to do, everything he was going to do. He chose to lay down his will so that the will of the Father could be manifested. And that was to stay in Christ for a year and a half and to teach these people and compel them to Christ. Paul had such a love for his Jewish nation. That's why he went to the synagogue. He was called way back over in chapter 9. You can see where he was called to go to the Gentiles and preach. But because of that love that he had for his people, he always went to the synagogues first. After the synagogue, he'd go to the Gentiles. A lot of people today, you know, are building their own empires and asking God to bless them. You know what? If God has some big, important thing, going on somewhere, and he wants you to be a part of it, tell you. Until that time, you just do whatever he tells you to do. The Holy Spirit is not interested in building anybody's kingdom except God's kingdom.
Amen.
So, how do you think Paul and all these other people were getting their instructions? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14:15. Take a look. Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He got this by praying in tongues continually. What do you think he was probably doing as he was walking the roads, riding his donkey from town to town, or on the ships going from here to there on his missionary journeys? What do you think he was doing? That's right. He was praying, and he was praying a lot. That's how we have these awesome letters. Paul's letters, James' letter, Peter's letters, because they were all in tune with the Holy Spirit. They had come to the place that when Jesus said, they finally accepted that. When Jesus said, I'm sending you a helper, they took the Holy Spirit on as their helper. They believed Jesus. That is how they accomplished the things in their life. That is how they wrote their letters. That is how they ministered to everybody, is because of the Holy Spirit becoming their friend, taking Jesus at his word. Without the fellowship and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we're left to wander around like orphans. We have to have his leadership. Now, let me ask you something. What good is it to spend all that time in prayer and get instructions and then not do what he has told you to do? So often we miss the real instructions because we're expecting this big thing like him coming to us and say, I want you to go to so-and-so, this place out here, and when you get there, I'm going to cause you to have a great ministry, and all the world is going to hear of you. You know, and blah, 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 blah. You know, we think of these great, huge things, you know. But that isn't where it's at. I mean, maybe someday if that's in the plan of God for your life, that will happen. But you know what he's really trying to get across to us? I want you to quit yelling at your wife and kids and making them feel worthless. Or, I want you to lose X amount of weight because your health is depending on it right now. Or, I want you to go pay your neighbor's gas bill. Or, I want you to go pick up so-and-so, take them to the grocery store because they don't have any food in their house, and I want you to buy them a week's worth of groceries. Or, I want you just to go get a thinking of you card and just write a little note of encouragement and exhortation to this person. They really need some encouragement right now. I don't care how trivial that instruction is to you, and you blow it off. You might think, well, I'll just blow it off. Don't blow it off. I don't care how trivial it is, because you're not looking at it from the perspective that Jesus is looking at it. He's sending the Holy Spirit to tell you to do this stuff because we're His arms, we're His mouth, we're His feet here on this earth. The only thing that matters is that you obey the instructions when they come. Because then when you obey that instruction, then He can give you another instruction. And that's how it works. So learn to wait upon God. He's never going to fail you. He's your constant friend. Whether you're aware of it or not, He's your constant friend. He's there with you forever. And He is not ever, ever, ever going to leave you in the dark. Hallelujah. Could somebody get Bev for me, please? Hallelujah. Why don't you just all stand up and let's just worship God out of the abundance of your heart. Why don't you just thank Him for this friend, this precious friend.